Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Three, two, one. You don't need to be a do-it-yourself genius. You simply need a good coach.
I did it all for you.
Well, here he is.
If you need help,
give him a call.
He's Lou Manfredini, and this is House Smarts Radio.
Welcome back. Oh, no, we just started the show. I've been talking so much with Mike off the air, I thought I'd been on the air. Oh, thank you. Bob Ferguson's adjusting the lighting for me. It is the most non-intuitive dimmer switch I've ever seen over there when it comes to that. Oh, perfect. There you go. That's the mood light right there. Ooh, hey. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This hour of our show is sponsored by Ace Hardware, Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating, and by bathfitter.com/Lou. How about that? bathfitter.com/Lou. It's sponsored by
Lou.
Lupon. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Nice to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Hi, Maple. Welcome back. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know. It's been a while.
Yeah. Have you? Was it something I said?
No.
You've just been busy?
Yeah.
You're
my planning mom had to get some emergency surgery.
Oh, is she okay?
So, yeah, she's doing great.
Right,
she's
good.
Doing great. I'm sure she's probably listening. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom. What's Mom's first name?
Jane.
Hi, Jane.
J-A-N-E. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Jane. Hope you're feeling better. How you feeling, Joe?
I'm feeling okay.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Nice to see you, too.
Likewise.
Bob Ferguson here is pushing all the buttons. Nice to see him. Nice to see Mike and Colin here this morning. So we're going to have a good show for you. Anything we can help you with, you just got to pick up the phone and give us a call, 312-981-7200. And then coming up a little bit later on today, oh, look, we're going to be joined by our old friend Steve Bertrand. A little bit later on this morning, he's got a trip he wants to talk about that's coming up that sounds like a lot of fun. And then we're going to talk to the owner of the Kitchen Tune-Up in Chicago and talk about how millennials are, well, they're making different lifestyle choices than the baby boomers and waiting longer to get married and have kids and spending their money on health and wellness and experiences rather than material goods. Would you agree with that, you millennials in there?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, well, and then the ones that are actually younger than you.
Goodness.
But
let me take this. I do. I got later in life. I don't really think I'm more about experiences.
Are you just making this up right now?
Well, I actually do feel this way. I do. I might be making up that I'm like on the tail end of millennialism.
You are. You are.
If you're talking about him in a good way, I am. If not, you
we know. We accept you, Lindsay.
Right.
We'll
right.
bring you in.
Thank well,
you.
I was off last week. My thanks to Pete McMurray, who filled in, which I'm a little concerned with how excited you get to work with Pete McMurray. You're like, I love Pete McMurray. He's so great. And I mean, you're posting pictures of you in the studio, which we've worked together forever. You never post a picture of yourself in the studio.
We typically have guests in studio.
Yeah.
And
I heard, Joe, were you here last week?
I was.
And I heard that she played some, like, Friends trivia with some guy that was on Friends and you kicked his butt.
I was so nerd. I was such a nerd.
Well, again, Lindsay wrote the questions, so she knew the answer.
Pete wrote them.
Oh, I didn't hear that part of the story.
Well, you clearly know the way to Lindsay's heart if you bring in somebody from her favorite show in studio that week.
Right.
It was fun. I'm such a Friends fan. And, you know, this, we know we do home improvement stuff here. So it was just something that was different.
Yeah. I was in South America while you were talking about Friends. And
no, I was meeting friends.
You were meeting friends.
Yeah.
And I was with friends and our daughter, Mallory.
Real
we were down in South America. We were in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and then on to Santiago, Chile. I don't know if any of you have ever been to South America, and it was absolutely not on our radar at all, other than the fact that our daughter was studying there, and it was fantastic.
Amazing.
It was really something else. And Mallory has a friend that works in the government of Argentina, and we actually went to what they call the palace and got a private tour of the House of Representatives. So here's a little historical tidbit for you. Their constitution in Argentina is modeled almost exactly after the U.S. Constitution. And so their three branches of government are very similar to ours, where they have a House of Representatives, they have Senate, and then they have a president. But here's something that's a little bit more progressive in Argentina than here in the U.S. It is law that 50% of the candidates in the House of Representatives have to be female. Like, women and men have to be equal. Isn't that cool?
That is.
That's cool.
That is cool.
And, you know, and I guess the way it's working is that, you know, the whomever is elected, in other words, if you're already in there, it's not like you have to go, but it's through attrition that the law just passed like a year or two ago. And it was really cool walking around and looking at, you know, how they run there. And it was very, so I've had the good fortune of being in the House of Representatives in the U.S. as well. Not as big of a room as in the U.S., but modeled after it. And it was really, really neat to be in there to see that. And in Argentina, they protest all the time. So as we were going there, there's protests happening and people got signs up. And Mallory said that, you know, they strike all the time. Oh, yeah. One train line will strike as opposed to all right. the trains. Like, oh, yeah, I got to get to work and you can't get on the train. Wow. So
what was the guy's name that gave you the tour?
Fea.
Fea.
I thought this was a quiz on if Lou can remember first names.
No. We met him, and it's spelled like Felix, but he doesn't speak any English.
I call him Fire.
Fire, yeah. Nice young man. Anyway, 312-981-7200. We had a great time. So put that on your list. It was really, really fun. Let's talk to Myrna, who's in Beecher. Hi, Myrna. You're on WGN.
Hi.
How can I help you?
Well, last night we had a lot of rain in Beecher, and our neighbors filled in their yard and got rid of the culvert, and so the water backed up into my lawn and wound up in my basement. I had about 7 inches down there, and I have severe back injury from an accident and some other health issues, and I can't go down and clean it up, and I have just a big bunch of mud, and there's some more rain coming, so I'm just wondering who I can call out this way that would come in and clean it up for me and probably get a dumpster and throw some of that furniture and stuff out that's down there, because I'm getting older, might as well get rid of it.
Yeah,
I don't use it anyway.
There is several companies that do this. That can do this. One is, I mean, ServiceMaster is one of them. There's also a company you may have heard about here, Brower Brothers. They do disaster relief as well, that could come in and clean all that up and get rid of it. And they can even bring in, you know, like giant dehumidifiers to kind of, you know, dry the things up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then there was another company that we talked with. I'm blanking on the name that does. If there was a fire or a flood that's in the Chicagoland area, I'll come up with that third name. But try either ServiceMaster or Brower Brothers, and that would be where I would start.
Do you have the number for Brower Brothers?
I do not. You'll have to search. You have to look that up. I'm sorry.
Is that Brower Brothers?
Correct. Yep.
And what town are they in, or what city?
Western suburbs, like Itasca, maybe something like that. I think if you do a quick search online, you'll find them for sure.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm sorry about all that.
Yeah, I'm by myself and have, you know, no one. I think my daughter's in northwestern Indiana. She's probably doing the same thing I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not telling her, though.
Yeah, right. It's a lot of water. There was a lot of water last night in a lot of parts of the country, or area, rather. So I'm sure we're going to get lots of calls about that today. Good luck with that. Appreciate you calling. It's 7:22 in the morning. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Back to your host of House Smarts Radio, Lou Manfredini, on The Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN.
is our phone number. Welcome back. This is Paul in Naperville. Hey, Paul, you're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Lou. Hey, I just wanted to, a couple of weeks ago, you recommended a product. There was a lady who called in who had a new deck built about a year ago.
Okay.
And so did I. So did I. And, you know, the deck builder told us don't put anything on the deck for the first year. And so I followed those instructions. And you recommended a product called Penelfin. And I couldn't find it anywhere, so I actually drove down to your hardware store in Villa Park.
God bless you.
Yep, you stocked the product. I bought that stuff, and I came home and I put it on. I bought the cedar color, and I did not want to put on a film.
The blue can or the red can?
The blue can. And I did not want to put on a film finish. I wanted to protect the wood from inside the wood. So, you know, I applied it with a brush, just like you said, like the instructions said. I waited about an hour. I wiped off the excess with some shop rags. I have the most beautiful looking deck that you could ever imagine as a result. And this morning, after all that rain, I took a look out there, and it is beating up like crazy on there, protecting that deck like nothing I've ever seen. So I want to thank you for a recommendation on a great product.
Oh, that's so nice to hear, Paul. And, you know, with any of these products, and Penelfin is a good one, the application, what you just, you know, described, is the thing that, you know, the mistake that a lot of people make is that they're like, oh, well, I'm just going to do this and I'm not going to follow the instructions. And when you do, you know, it's designed when they give those instructions so that you maximize what the product is going to do. And by applying it with a brush as you did and then letting it soak in for a little bit, that way you get those tannins and the substrate that's inside there, the resins, to soak into that wood, and then wiping it just sort of sets it in there, and that's where you get the longevity. And that's true of a Penelfin product, or really any kind of decking, semi-transparent stain that you would use. But I'm glad you had really good results.
Oh yeah, and the cleanup, you know, mineral spirits took 2 minutes. The brush is as good as new, and the job is finished. So thanks a lot.
I appreciate it. You have a great day. Thank you so much for the phone call. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is George in Roselle. Hey, George, you're on WGN.
Yeah, hi.
How can I help you, sir?
Yeah, we have an attached garage, and I've been trying to finish it in the floor. We've done it twice already where we've, you know, cleaned it. Pressure washed it and cleaned it and put stuff on there and epoxy paint, and it cracks, starts drying out and cracks all over the place. And we've done that twice. And I think the creep shows that did the house didn't do the garage floor right, you know, the concrete. They didn't put something, that's what I've been told. They didn't put something underneath it to keep it stable, whatever. It cracks. Go ahead.
So wait. So you're using an epoxy coating, and it just flakes completely off?
Yes, everything. The floor starts cracking and everything.
And then when you go back and scrub it, when you come back and scrub it, it literally goes back down to the concrete.
We don't do anything. We put like 3 coats on there.
Right.
We went to the extreme. And
well, I mean, here
a week.
Yeah. So here's the thing, George, with that epoxy, more coats is not better, because then that's where you can get some of that separation. What I would do is I would clean that floor one more time, and I would probably rent a floor scrubber with a big Scotch-Brite.
We did that.
Okay.
We did the whole shot. We had a guy do it. I mean, we didn't do it, but we had a person do it, and they, you know, a person that knew concrete, but they said something about underneath, they didn't put that, like, I guess they put, like,
vapor barrier.
When they poured it. Yeah.
Well, I think that your only choice at this point is to scrub it off one more time. And if you can get down to the concrete again, where you can expose all the concrete one more time, I would seal it with a concrete sealer called Bone Dry. And you can find that at bonedryproducts.com. That is a clear sealer that would go over the top. Once that dries, you could put an epoxy coating over the top of that. Just one coat, not doubling up on that, because if you put too many coats of film on there, that's where you get that separation and the cracking, and can be a real problem. And then you should get better results. And the Bone Dry will make sure that no water or moisture comes up to get on the backside of that film, causing issues for you down the line.
Hey, we've all got our areas of expertise. Lou's area just happens to be your house.
I've been listening to you for a few months now, trying to catch you saying something not quite right, but you got it all going on.
Now back to Lou Manfredini and House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago, 720 WGN. Never
Joe, you're getting married soon, right? Maple, you're getting married too, right?
Yes, sir.
Lindsay, you've been married 9 years, is that right? 9 years. I've been married 29 years. I'm going to tell you what being married 29, what the definition of being married 29 years is. And this is something for you young kids who are just getting married right now. Love is going to see Downton Abbey with your wife.
Ooh, you went.
I didn't
and?
Know anybody.
Did she
I didn't know.
Did she...
Oh, my gosh.
She did.
Why is that such a struggle? I feel like that's...
Did you watch Downton Abbey?
No, I didn't.
Right.
But I feel like
I don't really feel like it's a chick flick.
Right.
I didn't know anything about it, right? And I was not. And I was sitting there.
And she's like, oh, my God.
Like, oh my gosh, this, you know, like all the characters. Like, I don't know that this is the butler and this is the, you know, I think if you're all into that, and evidently the movie is all the same people. This is how I know that I'm right about my statement about love is going to see Downton Abbey with your wife. The end of the movie, my wife turns to me and says, you're a good man.
Wow, at least she recognized you had, like, no interest
in it. I didn't hate it, but I just didn't, you know. It wasn't my thing.
Right.
Right.
I'm with you, Lou. I'm with you.
Did you watch the Downton Abbey at all?
No, I don't want to see it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think if you're a Downton Abbey person, then you will, you know, like there were people that were, it took me a while to understand that there was some humor in the thing, you know, like a couple of the characters, you know, where I think a lot of people were yucking it up at certain parts of it. And I'm like, oh, okay, she's funny. I got it. Okay, she's sarcastic, you know, in that English sort of way, which was kind of funny. So anyway, you're a good man. That's what I'm going with.
You're a good man, Charlie.
You're a good
Brown.
Man,
got
Charlie Brown.
For that one.
I got points for that one. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's see if we can get some points here for Barbara, who's in the Quad Cities. Barbara, you are on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question about pressed wood. My son built a new set of steps coming out of his house out of pressed wood this spring. Does anything have to be done to this pressed wood over the winter to preserve it, or you know, it hasn't been stained or anything?
Did you say?
What do we do?
Do you mean pressed or depressed wood? What is it?
Oh, I mean, you know, that wood is kind of like got the green stripes in it, the green.
You mean treated lumber?
There you go. That's
okay,
what
treated
I mean.
Lumber. Okay, okay.
That's
so
what
he.
Yes.
Okay, so he built new steps out of treated lumber, and when did he finish?
It was probably May or June.
Yeah, I mean, and it, you know, I mean, now it would be we need it to dry out a little bit because of all the rain, but I would probably put some sort of oil based. Semi-transparent stain over the top of it, just to protect it over the winter. The treated lumber is really designed for ground contact and insects. To keep it protected. It doesn't really protect the wood from. It does protect the wood from the sun a little bit because there is a little slight tint to it. But once we get a good week and a half of dryness, then I would talk to him about lightly sanding the steps just to open up the grain a little bit, because you do get this thing called a wood sheen over the top, especially on a step, a wider piece of wood. You want to open up the grain so that if he were to apply a semi-transparent stain, a gentleman called in earlier today about a product that I really like called Penifin, which would be a great stain to use over the top of those steps. Just brush that on, let it sit for a little bit, wipe it away, and you'll get nice coverage. It'll look great and keep it protected.
So a stain rather than just a wood preservative?
A stain is a stain. A semi-transparent stain, in my opinion, is the best thing to use.
Okay.
The best thing to use on this, because if you use like a sealer or something like that, it's just not gonna, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. So semi-transparent stain with a color is what I would use.
And just one coat would be good? Or do you have to do
one? With Penafin, you would do one coat. Yeah, correct.
Okay. And maybe with, it's just like a little deck comes out, has railings on it, and maybe four steps down. Could that be done with a gallon, or do we need more than that?
You know, a gallon usually covers about 300 square feet. I mean, so, you know, railings, can absorb a little bit more, but I mean, I certainly would start with a gallon. Based on how you describe it, would probably be enough.
Okay.
All right.
Transparent stain. Okay, well, thanks for your help. I appreciate it.
Barbara, I appreciate you calling as well. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
You're listening to Lou. That's right, that fix-it guy. Right here on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Over the horizon, soon sailing, he's got me to see.
Kind of a gloomy day in downtown Chicago, but the view is still excellent. No question. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Clay is in Crystal Lake. Hi, Clay. You're on House Smarts Radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Great. How can I help you?
Well, I have a friend who has a custom-made patio door. It's about 29 years old. It's oversized. To replace it with a standard door, they went like $2,600. And I'm thinking if they're replacing it with a standard door, they have to enclose the building more.
Right.
Because this is oversized. And the problem is she has trouble sliding it open. Now, when I open it, and I'm not a big guy, I'm 5'6", but when I open it, I have no problem sliding it open at all. I'm wondering if there's a way to have someone take it off, and I don't know what's under a sliding door, if it's got rollers or ball bearings or what.
Is the door, when we look at it, Clay, I mean, in decent shape, meaning, you know, there's not any rot or anything like that that you see?
The door is in good shape.
Right.
It doesn't let in any drafts or air.
Right.
To me, it works fine.
Okay.
But she has trouble sliding it.
Okay. Now, on that door, the next time you're there, before we go replacing it all, and on the bottom horizontal rail...
Okay.
On the inside, there should be two holes, possibly with a couple of caps over the top of it.
So you're looking for, like, drip holes.
Essentially, but they probably have a little bit of a plastic cap over the top of it, so you can't see the hole.
Right.
And if you pop those caps off, inside there's probably a Phillips head that you could... Or a standard size screwdriver slot that you would slide the tool in, and if you clicked it to the right clockwise, like one click or so, that should adjust the rollers to actually lift the door up a little bit to improve the sliding of the door. Now, if it's not there, if you don't see those caps, you could have that same adjustment screw on the vertical rail of the door on one side and the vertical rail on the door on the other side, right at the base. There may be an angled screw that you would adjust to lift the door up. I would first do that to see if you can improve the action of the door rolling back and forth before we go and replace everything.
Okay, is there any kind of a lubricant that would be good to put in the track that it'd get on?
I think
there's wheels, there's rollers.
Yeah, so the thing with that is you could use a lubricant, but I would, in order to do that properly, I don't want you just to lubricate the track. It's the actual bearings of the wheels. And so to do that correctly, so let's say you find those holes that I talked about, and you're like, oh, you know, I adjusted it, but still sort of it feels like it needs a little something. If you adjust those rolls back the other way so the door drops down, you know what I mean? So it's like sitting on the track. Then with the door slightly open, if you grab it on both sides, now this sounds like it's a big door, maybe you need some help with this, and you lift up... And then out, you can take the entire door out of that opening.
Okay.
Now if I do that and I can see the rollers on the bottom, that's what I want to clean and that's what I want to lubricate, not the track.
Okay.
And if you were gonna, do that, the lubrication I would use is a product called Superzilla.
I've got a can of it.
Perfect. It does not attract. It does not attract dirt like WD-40 does, and that'll give you or give her probably years of easy rolling. And then once you put the door back in there, you adjust it again to kind of get the roll back up there and go.
Okay, I follow all of that. And I enjoyed Downton Abbey last night.
Well, I should have sent you with my wife.
I watched the whole series.
Right.
Though.
See, I think that if you're a Downton Abbey person, then you're all over it.
Okay.
I kept saying, I go, well, who's, I try not, who is that? Oh, that's her sister. And who's that? Well, that's her grandmother. So I didn't know any of the characters, right? And then I knew enough not to say who's that because I knew it was the king. So thank you for your phone call. I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's take a quick call here. Gary is in Westmont. Gary, you're on WGN.
Okay, I have a deck that's an extension of a sunroom. And so the deck itself is open only on the north end and the east end. Now, the when it rains or snows, it just fills up. I mean, and also on the floor, they didn't space the boards because it's an extension of the sunroom. And I just wondered, would it hurt if I drilled some holes in the floor just for when it rains, at least the rain would drain? Or is there something that I could hang from the east side, like a canvas or something? Is there an outfit that has, like an awning or something you can put up there to keep the rain and snow?
So the issue the fact that when it snows and rains, it just holds that water? Is that what the issue is?
Yeah, because it's only... Yeah, cause
and how big of an area are we talking about?
Probably an 8 by 18.
Okay. Here's what I would do. I would buy a... are you familiar with what a multi-tool is? Okay, so get a multi-tool with a couple of wood blades, that kind of looks like the bill of a duck, right?
Okay.
And I would carefully cut out a gap between the boards.
Oh, okay.
So you can just drive this right in there, and you could just kind of gently and precisely go along the boards. I mean, you'd have to, sit on your rear end while you did it. But you have great control with this tool. I'd buy an electric one, not a... not a battery operated one, because you're going to be doing a lot of this, and just kind of grind a little cut so you get a good eighth of an inch gap, and that way you'll get the drainage that you need to get it off of there. I mean, you could do an awning, you could do a retractable awning or something like that, but I think that ultimately what would probably solve the problem the right way would be to grind out those grooves in there to let the water drain and then the snow would melt.
So in between every ball, the whole length of the...
The whole length of the boards, right.
All of them.
Right. So now you got an eighth of an inch gap that they didn't provide you with before.
Right. Okay, well, thanks a lot.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, that the advent of that multi-tool and the ability to do those types of repairs is amazing, and you get such precision with it that you can, cut precisely where you want to go, and with the right blades, it's really a unique tool. I was just handed this from Lindsay because, I don't know my geography about Sweden and Switzerland. If you're in Switzerland, you're never more than 10 miles from a lake. In Sweden, the official language is Swedish. ABBA is probably the best-known Swedish band. No, that's Sweden. Yeah, Swedish. Yeah.
I'm so confused. Are you talking about Switzerland or Sweden?
That was Sweden. Okay. Wait a minute. Are you Swedish when you're from Switzerland, or are you Swedish
when you're Swiss from when you're from Switzerland?
Okay, wait a minute. ABBA is probably the best-known Swedish band.
Right, they're from
Sweden.
That's
on my Sweden sheet.
Yeah, they're from Sweden. That's correct.
So you're Swiss when you're from Sweden?
No.
So when you're from Switzerland, you're what?
You're Swiss.
You're Swiss. And when you're from Sweden?
You're a Swede.
You're a Swede. Oh, Swedish. Mamma mia, here I go. I miss Steve Alexander. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. This hour of our show, sponsored by Dykstra Home Services, America'sBath.com. and by ChevyDriveChicago.com. My Seattle Sutton breakfast is a little raisin bread with, I've never in my life, other than when I was on the Seattle Suttons, as I am now, had sunflower butter. Ever in my life. It's pretty good.
I'm not a fan of the alternative peanut butters, but that one I can tolerate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I love peanut butter.
I was just telling Luca that I do like the sunflower butter, but it's a good alternative for school lunches.
Sunflower,
because, you know,
not
do peanut butter.
Yes, not a nut. They grow a lot of walnuts in Chile. Listen to this. Okay.
All these facts now.
Yeah, listen to this. All right. Well, of course, me, right? I'm asking a ton of questions. So we went to an alpaca farm.
So cool.
I posted this on my Instagram, if you follow me on Instagram. And this woman, okay, so hear me out. We're in Chile at an alpaca farm owned by a Mexican woman. Oh, you don't even know this part of the story, Lindsay. So we're talking to this lady. Maria is her name. Super inspiring woman. She is telling stories about all the things she's done in her life, and it's like she must have lived forever, but she's probably in her mid-60s. She has 1,400 alpaca that she raises and then shaves them and then makes the wool and the yarn all right there on this farm, and then creates the fabrics and the jackets and the whatever. And she found out that alpaca is this super soft wool, but it can be itchy. And she figured out that she can eliminate the itchiness by what she feeds the alpaca.
Come on.
Yeah. Right? Like
sunflower
they have a
butter?
I don't know what it is. Okay? But no. So anyway, as we're there, all of a sudden it comes up, and because of course I'm like, wait, how do you make this? And who fixes these machines and this and that? They're like these old machines. And she goes, oh, I got a guy that makes the parts for me and this and that.
Woman.
She goes, you know, and I go, yeah, really? I go, you got like a hardware store around here? And, oh, I wish I had a hardware store. I go, oh, the funny thing is, you know, my wife and I own a couple hardware stores. What kind of hardware stores? I go, Ace, I love Ace Hardware Store. I go, how do you know Ace Hardware Stores? Wait for it. Well, I raised my kids in Lake Forest.
Stop.
I go, what? Oh. She goes, yeah, they went to Libertyville High School.
Oh.
I go, you're in Chile. I'm in Chile talking to this alpaca farmer woman who is like, raises the animal, shaves the wool. It's like she's, you know what she is? She is the hen from the kids' book. Remember?
No.
The book, the kids'
mother
book.
Hen?
Mother hen. Remember that book,
little,
Mother Hen? The Little Hen. It's the book of
the little
Hen.
Chicken Little?
Not Chicken Little, but it's like she makes the, like she's doing all the work and the other little kids are there and there's like a thing. Oh, can I have some of that cake you just made? No. I raised the wheat. I made the flour. I did the thing and then she eats the whole cake herself. Mother Hen, something like that. It's a children's book about like pitching in, like helping out.
The Little Red Hen?
Little Red Hen? Yeah. You know that book?
I'm going to have to get it at the library.
It's a good one. Anyway, this woman goes, oh, yeah, I lived in Lake Forest. I mean, her kids are a little bit older than you.
Here's my thing. So whatever they feed these alpacas, and it makes their fur softer.
No, it makes it less itchy.
Less. Okay. I was going to say, maybe we should start eating it. My skin needs, you know, get like a soft skin beauty.
I was going to say, yeah, it makes our hair healthier.
Yeah.
Or something.
Well, I'm sure that there are people listening going, well, of course you eat sunflower butter and you're going to have like hair like alpaca. Okay. And here's the funny thing about alpaca. They want nothing to do with you, but they're so curious. Like they are looking at you like straight in your eyes. And then if you come near them, they're like, get away from me.
Yeah. They're the animals that spit. No.
Watch out. They spit. Llamas and alpacas spit and camels. I kept saying, watch out, they spit. And because that's from Aladdin, but they were talking about camels. Mallory kept saying, that's camels. And then we had a funny elf moment while we were in Santiago where we're like, oh, what time are we going to meet tomorrow? And one of our friends said, 10 o'clock. Mallory said, 10 a.m. tomorrow, Santa's coming. Come on, that's funny. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. I am all over the place this morning. Here's Jeff in Marengo. Hey, Jeff, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
I am a little wacky. How can I help you?
Awesome. I got a quick question for you. One is, I have some live-edge wood that I bought to make some shelves out of.
I'm sorry. Wait. You just broke up. You have some what?
Some live edge wood.
Okay.
From a tree that my neighbor cut down.
Okay.
Right. So it was in my garage because like every project you never get to it right away.
Right.
And it got some water stains on it somehow. And I went to put it in this morning, and I haven't sealed it or nothing yet. I was wondering if there's a way to get those water stains out of there without. I tried to sand it a little bit, but they're so deep, I can't sand them out.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid if I seal it, they're going to be in there forever.
Yeah, they will. You know, depending on how long it was there, you may not do it. The thing is, if you sand a little bit to try and lighten up what's on the surface, the only thing I would tell you is if you can stain that wood a little bit of a light color, that'll help to blend it all in. But with that live edge on the edge, even if it wasn't live, you know, even if it wasn't there, if depending on how long that water is, it's very difficult to get it up. There are wood bleaches, but it'll lighten the color of the wood.
Should I just pour some more water on it, put stains all over it, make it look like it's supposed to be?
I mean, you could. What is it that you want to do with the material?
It's going to be a shelf next to my pool table in my basement that we just finished.
Okay. And,
so
and
it's about a 10-foot long piece.
That's cool. That's so cool.
And of course, the stain is right in the middle of it, not at one edge where I could have cut it off or something and made it a little bit shorter.
Right. Well, could you try putting a little bit of a colored stain on it to try and blend it in?
I probably could. Yeah. I wanted to leave it raw, but I guess it doesn't have to.
Well, let me ask you this. So the shelf side that you want to. Are both sides cut? Are both sides showing the horizontal?
Yeah, of course, the side I want to use has a stain. I flipped it over, and there is no stain, but there's some cracks and stuff on the
okay,
other side.
So it's not clean of a side. Okay, so hear me out. So that's okay, because what I want you to do then is stain that back side and see how it looks and see if you like it.
Gotcha.
And then, especially with those cracks, because more than likely you've got some... either some cracks or even some darker grain, if you see like, oh, wow, this really kind of blends it in, this color really blends it in, you may have the same success on the side you want to use, and that way you can proceed that way.
Gotcha. Perfect. That sounds like a good idea.
All right, Jeff, I appreciate you calling this morning. Thanks so much. 312-981-7200. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. 1, 2, 3.
Say cheese.
Hibachi is one of those words you don't say all the time, and it just makes me happy, and it makes you smile. Like, say the word.
Hibachi.
Well, no, you didn't. You purposely didn't do that.
And give us a little smile.
Maple, say hibachi. But see, don't you end up smiling when you say it?
You're listening to Lou Manfredini.
So it's just one of those words that you don't say a lot, and it makes you happy. When
hibachi.
And House Smarts Radio.
Joe, when they do the remake of Winnie the Pooh, I think you should audition for Eeyore.
Sorry to disappoint you.
Right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Shake
it, shake it, shake it. That's the one and only Joe Bram.
Shake it, shake it, shake it. AKA Eeyore.
Hey, it's good to have a backup plan. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lori is in Princeton. Hi, Lori. You're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I am fantastico. How can I help you?
Okay. I have an older ranch house, and in the bathroom, it has these like 4x4 plastic pink square tiles that are kind of falling, and there's like this thick glue behind there on the wall, and I'd like to know how do you clean that?
You mean
so I can paint it.
You mean how do you remove it?
Yes.
Not easily.
It's really thick grooved.
Right. It's grooved and it's super hard and it's nasty. How big of an area do we have here? So the tiles are just popping off.
They're kind of loosening up at the base, the floor base. Mm-hmm. And I like just to finish the job and take them off and then paint the whole bathroom. The squares are like basically maybe, I don't know, quarter of the wall down to the floor. The rest is wall above.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's your two choices.
Okay.
It's not, and you're not gonna like the first one. You literally have to sand all that glue off the wall. Because if you start getting behind, you can try scraping some of it, but you will gouge and damage the wall like there's no tomorrow. I mean, it's just a, that I know exactly what that glue looks like and what it feels like and how difficult it is to get rid of, because I've done a million jobs with that like it, and it stinks. So you can do all that. You need to wear a respirator of some sort and use a power sander to sand it all down, and then you're going to skim coat the wall and, you know, paint it and go. Or would you ever consider doing something like a synthetic beadboard? Take the tiles off. You know what you know what beadboard is?
Yeah, the old-fashioned skinny little, yeah.
Easy on the word old-fashioned, because it's coming back in style, okay? But they make synthetic panels that are white that are perfect for a bathroom, and you could literally take the tiles off, glue this back on, and put a little top rail on it, and then paint everything above that, and it would look really cool.
Okay, and if I did that, I wouldn't have to deal with the glue at all. Just go right.
All you do is you'd take off the old plastic tiles, right? And then you would just glue that in place with, you know, like a construction adhesive or something like that to hold it in place. And you could even throw a couple little nails in there if you wanted to, which wouldn't hurt. But you could just glue the whole thing in there.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. All right, thanks a lot.
Appreciate you calling this morning. What are you telling me? Oh, all right, thank you. I'll keep talking to people. I like talking to people. I'm like a paid talker. This is Bill in Chicago. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN.
Hey, Lou, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. What's going on?
Lou, this rain is creating havoc in my house.
I know.
Lou, so I came home yesterday, and my daughter said that there is a leak coming from the second floor in my bathroom. So I have an attic above there, so I went in there, and I see that I have like a 3-inch PVC pipe going up to the roof. I'm not 100% sure if it's a leak in the pipe or it's coming from the roof. Now, I would believe it's probably kind of a flue, where like a sewer flue or something.
Yeah, it's a vent. It's your vent. It's probably your vent for your plumbing.
Exactly. So I was wondering, what would you recommend? Like, because it's still raining here, should I run out to somewhere and get like a waterproof adhesive spray, or should or what do you recommend?
Okay, is the access to this pipe pretty like you can get to it?
It's not real easy, but I can get to it.
Okay, the way you're going to determine where the potentially where the leak's coming from is if you go back up there with some toilet paper. And and wrap it around the pipe just below the roof line.
Okay.
Then give it a few minutes. If that gets wet, then more than likely it could be leaking around the flashing where, you know, this pipe protrudes through the roof. And that that repair, quite frankly, Bill, has to occur on the other side, on the outside of the roof.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. That's probably up high, so it's not something you probably would tackle yourself.
Yeah, I'm a crazy guy. I put the lights up and everything every year, so don't bother me.
Well, if you're going to go up there, there is a roof repair. There's a clear. Where do you live in Chicago?
I'm calling from Chicago, but I live in unincorporated New Lenox.
Okay, so go to the Ace in New Lenox, and in their caulking aisle, they're going to have a container of a roof patch that's a clear, like a crystal clear. It looks like, if Dippity Doo was clear, that's what it would be. Do you have any idea what Dippity Doo is? Lindsay, you have no idea?
No, I do not.
No one knows what Dippity Doo is? Really?
No, never.
Dippity Doo, it was like a hair or something. Don't remember that? Okay.
No.
Google it, people. Dippity Doo. Find out if Dippity Doo is still a product, if it still exists.
All right.
So anyway, you don't want to use Dippity Doo, but if Dippity Doo was clear, it would look like this. And it's by a company called Sashco. Sashco, and you can actually put this on in the rain. Now, I do not suggest that you go up on your roof in the rain, but if you go up there, if you determine that the leak is around this, like, oh yeah, the toilet paper's wet, then go up there and carefully apply this with a putty knife, and you'll stop the leak.
Okay, gotcha.
So what was the name of the product? Sashko?
Sashko is the manufacturer. It's a clear waterproof patch.
Okay. Can you spell it for me, Lou, please?
S-A-S-H-C-O is the manufacturer. And it's called Roof Leak Stop or something like that. But it's like if you can imagine, it'll come in a quart can of paint, but it's clear. You can see right through it.
Okay, great.
Like dippity-doo.
Great. Dippity-doo. Mm-hmm. Lou, do you mind one more question?
Sure.
Lou, because I'm in an unincorporated New Lenox, I have the well from Joliet, and I have the caulk just does not seem to last around the tub or the shower. Could you recommend one?
Sure. Same company.
Really? Okay.
Same company. They came out with a brand new caulking called Cleans, CLEANZ, and it has an enzyme in it that will not allow mildew or mold to grow. But the trick with this is, Bill, you have to remove all the old caulking. You have to put a fan on that to make sure it's completely dry.
Okay.
Like a few hours, if not overnight, with a fan on it. And then you Then you come back and caulk after that. And it's really, really good stuff. Cleans. CLEANZ is the name of the product. Thanks so much for the phone call. Do you have a product description for those who have lived a sheltered life and have no idea? There is at least 50% of the audience, if not more,
all right.
Knows what dippity-doo is.
I feel like it went off. I think it was out of business, and maybe they've done a revamp of it.
Okay.
But it's something like, today's secret weapon for curly or wavy hair is dippity-doo. Shape, smooth, and separate your curls with natural aloe, vitamin E, and wheat protein to help eliminate the frizz.
Is it green?
This is pink, but this is like
it used to be
super
green.
Geared towards girls with curly hair.
Like the woman that I have a crush on, what's her name from Little Big Town?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. She could use dippity doo.
It is green. I do see the original one, and it looks like Jell-O, kind of.
Just put that in your hair.
I don't think they make it anymore.
All right. What's the cream? What they do? What is the thing they do for men in your hair? Like to instead of hairspray, it's like a little cream that men use in their hair.
Mousse?
No. Like a wax or something.
It's like a wax. Joe, do you use anything like that? Joe's got a big, thick head of hair.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of how thick my hair is, though. I have yet to find a hair gel that I'm satisfied with.
Did you ever think that you would say those words on the air?
No, I did not. I also didn't think I'd be saying hibachi in a negative tone either, though.
Right. Well, see the things I make you do? Well, guess what? Now it's time to hear from Lindsay about what's new at Builder Supply Outlet.
Thanks, Lou. Looking forward to entertaining family and friends for the holidays, but not in your current kitchen. There's still time to remedy that. Stop by The Edge Kitchen and Bath inside Builder's Supply Outlet. Let their expert designers create a smart layout and assist with selections on cabinets and countertops, backsplashes, even flooring to ensure a successful project. Schedule your free consultation now and not only celebrate the holidays with the people you love, but in a kitchen you love. See what's new at Builder's Supply Outlet today. He's taking your calls till 10.
How can I help you, sir?
We're debating on putting in a tankless system. Now, I don't know anything about tankless. Can you help me, sir?
Lou Manfredini.
Sure. Well, they don't have a tank.
Here he is now on Hope Smarts Radio.
Crank myself up. You can see when things go naturally. Welcome back. I was in Ridgewood, New Jersey this week. We were filming the final two episodes of the 2019 season for House Smarts TV that you can see here on Channel 9. I shouldn't say Channel 9, WGN, because it's not Channel 9 anymore. I mean, on your cable. But on WGN at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're on every Saturday now at 10 o'clock. And we're in this beautiful home, Lindsay. Gorgeous, like 1800s. It had like river rock on the outside, a beautiful like wraparound front porch, a gorgeous kitchen, and they were going to be putting it on the market for $2.7 million. And the problem you have is the young buyers just don't want these giant houses anymore. Plus the fact you need to be a young buyer with $2.7 million. I can't even imagine. I think the designer told me that the taxes are $50,000. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. I would live in a camper. You'd be better off living in a camper because you could just move it around. There's some really nice campers out there, by the way, and you don't pay real estate taxes. Anyway, the reason I bring this up is that there's a change in what buyers and people are looking for. The giant houses that maybe the baby boomers wanted years ago are very different now, or they're out there, but the younger buyers don't want that. And how you remodel and what you do does matter. Joining me on the phone line is Holly Lane. She's the owner of Kitchen Tune-Up in Chicago. Holly, welcome to WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Tell me first a little bit about Kitchen Tune-Up and what it is you folks do.
Kitchen Tune-Up is a kitchen remodeling service. Our focus is on updating your kitchen from a one-day tune-up all the way up to a custom kitchen. So we have five basic services where we can come in and refresh your kitchen in 3 to 5 days so that it's more marketable, so that it's a longer-term solution to the type of home you want to live in.
Mm. One of the things that I enjoy so much about speaking with somebody like yourself or other remodeling contractors or even home builders is that, you know, you start to see the trends really before it ends up making a magazine article or some online article, because you're listening to what people are telling you, like, well, I don't want that. I want this. And then, you know, you go meet with another client and they're like, oh, I don't want that. I want this. And, you know, these sort of trends start to emerge. One of the things in the, you know, that is true is that giant house, those darker colors, how people are spending their money, in particular the younger buyers, is very different, and our homes kind of need to reflect that a little bit, and probably in a aspect of what you guys do in kitchens you're seeing that, correct?
Absolutely. There's a big difference in the way they want their kitchens to look and to function. Functionality is a bigger issue now than it was in the past. So the millennials, they want it more simplistic. They want it less clutter, but they want all their organization behind the doors. So when you open a cabinet, they want those organizational systems that make it easy to find. Everything has its place so that they can move on with their life and not have to deal with all of that. Like with the boomer generation, you kind of had the cabinets to hide all your mess.
Right.
The millennials want the cabinets to hide their organizational systems so that
right.
It's easier to live with.
Right,
you
right.
To live with less.
When it comes to the kitchens now, you know, probably 15 years ago, when I would talk to people and they would ask me about, you know, countertop recommendations, and, you know, I still am a fan of a granite countertop, of, you know, a real natural granite. But, man, the advent of these quartz materials and the colors and the styles and the look and really the flexibility from a design standpoint has really changed a lot. Are you do you get involved with countertop installations, and are you seeing a trend in that as well?
Yes. It's no longer granite. It's definitely moved to quartz. And the colors and availability are also moving with what's trending in cabinets as well. So they're working towards making that all blend.
One of the things you mentioned about, you know, simplicity and making it easier to kind of live in, I mean, the quartz really offers that over a natural stone, wouldn't you say?
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Just no ceiling and easy to clean, and the fact that it's non-porous, I think, is... I know I talk to a lot of people too, and they just, you know, they don't want to create more of a problem for themselves. And these synthetics certainly seem to solve that problem. But one thing that probably, and I would imagine you would agree, is people need to know that quartz is on par price wise with the natural stones as well. So it's not like it's necessarily a cheaper material.
It is not a cheaper alternative. So that's exactly correct. But it does have that maintenance-free quality, because most people aren't even aware that they should be keeping their granite and stone not updated, but with maintenance every year in order to keep its luster and to keep it less apt to stain, because right. it can stain once you wear off those coatings, but a lot of people are not aware of that.
Right. Now, do you also get involved with your company and your, you know, when you're tuning up kitchens and whatnot in appliances? Are there trends there that you see that people are doing?
There are trends in appliances, but we don't really focus in that area because most of our kitchen focus is on changing the look of your kitchen without actually doing a full gut renovation. So we like to go in and take maybe a traditional looking Mediterranean type kitchen, and by refacing or redooring, we can change the entire look of that kitchen into the more shaker style transition that's really popular today.
Right.
Without changing the whole footprint, without changing out all of the appliances. But if you're going for new appliances, there's definitely a lot of new trends out there.
Right. And finally, on that kind of tune-up part of it, you know, you mentioned that, you know, one of the things you do is, like, if people are getting ready to sell and they're trying to spruce it all up, if someone was looking to do something like that, how long would something like that take? And could you give me a range of pricing of, like, what something like that could possibly cost?
Sure. For wood cabinets, we do a one-day refacing, which means basically we take cabinets that have been there for, you know, 15, 20 years, and wood is also another product that people don't realize they need to be conditioning over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So we can actually restore that wood to make it look, you know, 80 to 90% like new, and we can do that in a day. So that's like on the lower end, you know, probably between $1,000 and $2,000, depending on how large your kitchen is.
Right.
But what's really happening a lot more now is refacing and redooring and painting, so that you can change the whole look of your cabinet and you can of your cabinets and total kitchen. You can do that from, you know, $5,000 on the low end to $12,000 to $15,000 if you're doing a full reface on a larger kitchen. And that return on investment for you, if you're putting your house on the market, is like 85% or even higher at times.
Wow.
To do a full remodel when you've got your whole kitchen and you're spending upwards of, you know, $50,000, that gets your return of investment closer to like 55%. So that's why we're seeing a lot of people who are saying, I need a spruce up and an update, so I'm going to invest, you know, $10,000 to $12,000, and then when they sell, they're going to get like 85% plus back
right.
for that type of an update and refresh.
Holly Lane is the owner of Kitchen Tune-Up Chicago. Holly, if people want to get a hold of you and learn more about how you can help them in their kitchen, how do they do that?
They can call me at 312-868-7588, or they can go online to kitchentuneup.com and read all about us.
That's great. Thanks so much for joining us. I hope you have a terrific day.
Thank you so much, Lou, for your time.
You
Take
got
care.
It. Yeah, that's really cool. It's cool. I've seen some of their work over the years, different kitchen tune-up franchises throughout the country, actually. And you'd be amazed when they can come in and kind of spruce things up. And I think for a lot of us, you've got older homes that need just a little, you know what they need, Lindsay? They need a little dippity-doo, just to take the curl out, and then you're good to go. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back.
Got a problem around your house you just can't figure out? You might want to call Lou, just saying. He's taking your calls live right here, right now on House Smarts Radio on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
I'm a little disappointed that I'm not going to get to see John Williams today because he's off because of Northwestern football. And I was flying back from New Jersey. And I don't know if you heard John's show this week, but he interviewed the lady from Merriam-Webster's dictionary about some of the new words that they put in the dictionary. I know we know how much of a geek John is, but he was so excited talking to this woman about the words in the dictionary. It was unbelievable.
That just sounds so much like a John Williams guest.
Oh, my gosh. It was like, Joe, think about like some like super person you'd want to interview that you'd be like totally jazzed about. He was honestly, I'm listening to him. I'm on the plane and I can sense that he's kind of floating in his chair as he's listening to her. No, wait. How do you come down? Do you just sit around with a notepad and you like come up with these words? And they were talking about, some of the new words, like deep state is now a word that's in there. And, you know, what does that refer to? And he's going on and on. And then some other words, and the whole, with gender kind of
the pronoun. I did hear
they,
some of that.
Right. Yeah. And that was very interesting. And the woman that was on with him was spectacular. Like she was on it and knew exactly. Well, the reason is and this or we're still monitoring this. And he is like out of his mind. Excited.
He was like a schoolgirl.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. It was unbelievable how excited he was. And I just wanted to say the one thing, though, too, is that, you know, he was talking about, which I agree with him. I text in full sentences. Like if I'm going to text you, Lindsay, you and I text a lot. I'm not like, you know,
K
or LOL. Like I don't do any of that.
You don't
right?
like you don't like acronyms, or you just don't like short messages.
Oh well, I like full sentences. Okay. So John and I are the same. However, John says he does not use any emojis.
Ooh,
I do like using. I don't like. I don't go crazy with the emoji, but you know, if I'm the thing that I think the emoji is helpful for is that sometimes text messages or emails can be out of context.
Agreed.
Right? Like you could say something like, oh, why did he say that? Well, if I'm trying to be sarcastic, I use that crazy face. I go, you know, with the guy with the big eye and the tongue hanging out. So then you know that I'm being like, oh, he's just joking around.
Right.
Or, you know, like, I do ha-ha a lot.
Like the reason I didn't send you the emoji I was going to send you.
The number one
yeah,
emoji?
Yesterday. I didn't want to give you the wrong idea.
Right. I get that emoji a lot. I do. Did I talk about why I got that emoji? Listen to this.
I didn't send it.
Oh, no. I talked about it when we were out in New York. So I have this friend of mine who's a teacher. We had dinner last night, Joe. Maple, this is for you, too. If you could not fail, what would you do? If you could not fail, my friend Candace asked this to her grade school kids, like as an exercise. They were talking about that. And so it's kind of an interesting thing to contemplate. If you could not fail, what would you do? If you knew 100%, like my friend Tim said, I'd walk on the moon.
Play the lottery.
Ooh, that's good. Maple?
I'm still stumped.
All right. Lindsay, have you thought about this? Because I gave you this earlier.
I mean, I'd probably play in like Madison Square Garden to a sold-out audience.
Oh, like singing?
Yeah.
Do something like, yeah, you could not fail. Like, you would be like, oh, my gosh, she's amazing. Joe, that's a good one. I'd play the lottery because I can't fail. Like, it's $450 million. I'd play the lottery.
But would you need to play the lottery if you couldn't fail?
Well, no. So is the question, you can only not fail at one thing. Like,
yeah, you couldn't fail. What would it be? And so everyone's going around the table doing that. And so I'm trying to be funny, you know, and my wife's at the table. And I hope she's not listening. Yeah, she's not. I go, I'd marry Beyonce. And
yes.
I got the emoji live at the dinner table.
Oh, I know what emoji you're talking about now.
Emoji, you know?
It's number one emoji, right? That there. And it was well deserved. But let's remember from earlier in the show, what am I?
More than
nope.
Nope. You're nuts. You're
Lou, actually, you know what?
I'm a good man.
You're a good man.
You know
right.
what?
What?
Beyonce's a huge Downton Abbey fan.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Oh, I was going to say, how do you know that?
312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Mary in Malta. Mary, you are on WGN Good Morning.
Hi there. I have a very large sliding glass door that is leaking from the top on the inside. And it's a brick house with probably an 18-inch overhang over that door. And we can't, there's no sign of a leak on the ceiling or the wall. And we can't quite figure it out. Do you have any thoughts?
An 18-inch overhang, meaning that there's like a little protrusion of a roof sticking out from there?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking at the door from the outside, that overhang, is it a framed overhang with shingles on it?
No, it's a soffit with aluminum vented bottom.
It's a soffit. Oh, okay, so it's part of the, it's the overhang is part of the roof going around that area.
Right.
Okay. And when I look on the outside above where the brick is, mm-hmm. that's not wet.
No.
And does this only happen when it rains?
Yes.
Always or when it's in a certain direction?
It seems to be always.
Hmm. All right.
The roof looks to be fine. The gutters are clear.
There's no second story over this part?
No. Nope.
All right. Hold on.
We went up and sealed around the air vent, yeah. up, you know, yeah. the roof vent, thinking maybe it was coming in there.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, and the problem is right over that overhang, it's really tight. So if you went up in that attic, you can't really get there, right?
I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if possible, and you can pop in there with a really bright light to see if there's some leak in a loose shingle or something up there that's coming in there, but it makes no sense that on the outside there it would just come over that door. Unless, you know, the thing is water can travel, so pay attention to the on either side of the door. Along that roof line, is there any evidence of a loose shingle or a clogged, backed up gutter or something on that point? If you don't see anything like that and you can't see anything from the attic space, then what you probably have to do is open up the ceiling right above that to exactly find out where it's going. It's not a perfect solution, but at least then you'll know exactly where the water's coming from, and then you can attack the problem properly and then just patch the ceiling and go from there.
He's smooth.
Well, you know, I'm shy. I don't like to talk.
He's got a way with his words.
When you open it back up again, that hot, moist air may bring it back again.
Ugh, not that one. He's Lou Manfredini.
It's like those favorite pair of jeans that you put on and they feel right until after you eat too much and you're like, these are not my favorite jeans anymore.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
But I'm saying it better.
Now back to House Smarts Radio.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars.
Welcome back.
Let me
this hour of House Smarts Radio is like brought to you by Ace Hardware, Lindeman Chimney and Fireplace, and Permaseal Basement
in
Systems.
Words, hold my hand.
If you could not fail, walk on the moon.
In other words, baby, kiss me.
312-981-7200 is our phone number.
Song and let me sing forever.
Ben is in Chicago. Ben, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You are all I long for. Hello, Lou. Good morning.
How can I help you?
I had two questions, one about windows, one about floors. What do you prefer, plastic, vinyl, or wood windows?
Between vinyl and wood, I would tell you wood. It is, a stronger material. I think that, it all depends on your budget. There's good vinyl windows out there. I mean, I do work on behalf of the Gilkey Window Company, and I think that another choice to look at is fiberglass, which has become sort of the material of choice because it gives you the benefit of the strength of wood, some would argue a little bit more. But the durability and the, kind of low maintenance qualities that fiberglass brings you that wood doesn't. You don't have to stain it or worry about termites or anything like that. So you really have three choices when it comes to windows.
Would you say fiberglass over...
you know what? Over the two, I would definitely do fiberglass. If I was doing new windows right now, as much of a fan as I am of wood, I would probably do fiberglass windows because I think that it's just a good choice, and you get sort of the best benefits of all of it: strength, durability, low maintenance, and
kind of carefree operations for many, many years.
Okay, excellent. Now, I have a oak wood floor. I just pulled the carpeting up.
Okay.
And I want to stain it, finish it. I'd like to get it a little darker than the light-colored oak. What products and process would you suggest for that?
Are you going to try and do this yourself?
No, I'm going to hire someone.
Okay. They'll come in and, you know, they'll sand the floor. When they sand the floor and they get it down to the raw, you know, look of the wood will be the area where they may have, you may have some damaged boards or maybe some discoloration that doesn't look quite the same. And they'll make that repair as well and then finish sand that. From there, you can stain it whatever color you'd like. You know, they'll put some samples down on the floor for you to choose to see what you like. And then I'm a big fan of the waterborne finishes on hardwood floors. There are some more harsher chemicals out there that, you know, one in particular is a Swedish finish or a Glitza. And a lot of flooring companies love to sell those, but it's too harsh of a chemical. I mean, to me, whenever you have to turn off the water heater and any open flame before you put anything down on the floor, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I've been using the waterborne finishes in the homes that I built and renovated in my own home for 25 years. And we entertain a lot in that home, and it just really holds up. And you've got a couple of different brands that I like. One is by Bona Chemi called Traffic, and the other one is called Street Shoe, which are both waterborne finishes, very durable, non-yellowing. They'll do a set coat first, and then they'll screen it. They'll put a second coat, they'll screen it, and then they do the final coat, and you're done.
Excellent explanation. You are the man. Thank you so much, Luke.
I appreciate you calling this morning. 312-981-7200. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world.
You know who's a traveling man quite a bit is our friend Steve Bertrand. You hear him weekdays here on WGN Radio, hosting the Wintrust Business Lunch every midday at 12 o'clock, and also does news in the mornings and then on the John Williams Show. Good morning, Steve Bertrand.
Good morning, Lou Manfredini. How are you?
I am fantastico. and you have a trip coming up that you and I chatted about that sounds fantastic. I was lucky enough to go to Spain with your Steve Bertrand Travel and a bunch of awesome listeners, and you're doing another Spain-Paris trip, correct?
Yeah, this one, it's a combination of Spain and France. I know you started in Madrid with yours, so we're going to follow in your footsteps a little bit. But, yeah, May 1st, we're going to go with a WGN trip to, and this is a pretty cool one, actually. I've always wanted to go to the Basque region in northern Spain. So we'll start in Madrid for 2 nights and then go up to San Sebastian for 2 days, which is, it's all about food there and Spanish wine as well. And then cross into southern France to Bordeaux for 2 nights. Tour. Do you like oysters?
I do.
Apparently, I did not know this, but the bay there is known for its centuries-old oyster farm. So we'll get on a boat, tour the oyster farms. I'm sure we'll have a sample if you are inclined. And 2 days in Bordeaux, and then head up to Paris for 2 days. And, you know, we always like to build some free time into the trip. So we'll get a tour of Paris. We get a walking tour, food tour, I should say, of Paris. And then the next day is altogether free. You can do whatever you want to do to take in the sights.
You know, one of the things that I think is unique about the kinds of trips that you have organized over the years, and obviously being your friend and knowing what you do, is that you have top-notch tour guides.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I love the most about going on these types of trips is learning, right? It's one thing to be like, oh my gosh, look, there's the Eiffel Tower. And that's wonderful. But boy, when you have someone sort of explaining what's going on and you get some history and you learn, I mean, I came out of, you know, one of the things when we were in the south of France that I was learned a lot about was
the way that, you know, the Muslims and the Jews and the Christians for hundreds of years have lived in harmony, right, until the Crusades. Right, right. And it was just really interesting stuff to learn about and to take away. And your tours are always so good at that.
You know what? That's a great point. So, you know, a lot of people like to travel on their own. And if you do that, you're a little more deeply immersed. You know, you got to find the store, the restaurants on your own, things like that. But when you're with the tour, I think you learn a lot more about the country that you're in. You learn about their history and about the current day, how they live, you know, whether it's schools or taxes or things like that. I think it's a great way to learn about the countries. You're right. The other thing, Lou, and you know this, is we stay in very nice hotels. We just got back from Ireland. We got back from Ireland a week from today, and honest to God, I was in the nicest hotels I think that I've ever been in a couple of the spots.
Yeah, no, the hotels were great. I've heard that from multiple people that, you know, and what's interesting to me, I think, you know, like any business, Steve, I think that the telling point is that you have guests, people that join you on your tours that have been on multiple tours because the experience is so great. So on a personal note, you know, we had such a terrific time on our tour of Spain. This is a little bit different one with Steve Bertrand Travel and WGN Food and Wine of Spain and France. And give us the dates one more time.
One point, though. We're going to Portugal in a few weeks with the group, and it's 65% returning passengers.
Wow.
So, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
This one is May 1st. We leave May 1st. It's 10 days, and it's $4,800. Per paid person based on double occupancy. And I'm pretty full, actually. We've got about 8 spots left. I guess I should make that clear. So I'm hoping to probably fill it up today or within the next week or so.
All right. There's two ways to get a hold of Steve. You can give him a call at 847-606-6065. That's 847-606-6065. And you can also go to Steve at SteveBertrandTravel.com. Now, are you leading this tour?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sharon and I are going to go on this one. You can see the details at WGNRadio.com and also at SteveBertrandTravel.com. A lot of food. We're going to eat our way from Madrid to Paris.
Right. And so here's the thing, that if you call today and you book it, I'm going to put a little loupon out there right now. Okay. So I'm going to, here it is. So if you call and book today with Steve after hearing it on my show, Steve will buy you your own plate of pommes frites.
I will do that.
Right? Right? Big thing of French fries. Who doesn't want that when you're in France?
Although I think we're going to be eating so much on this tour, there's not going to be any room for pommes frites.
Okay. He's going to give you a bottle of Tums. There you go. A free bottle of
Tums. And I'll give you an extra glass at one of the wine tastings.
Okay, perfect. Done. I guess you're full now.
It's a loupon.
See you, buddy. Nice talking to you. Steve Bertrand and Steve Bertrand Travel, this wonderful trip to Spain and France. It goes May 1st, 2020. If you're interested in learning more, give them a call, 847-606-6065, or you can email Steve at steve@stevebertrandtravel.com. Quick break, and we'll be right back.
Say my name.
So I have a cousin. She's married to George McDowell. Anyone? Google? There's
Googling furiously.
George McDowell. You're still not there?
Google's got nothing for me.
He was the winning pitcher for the New York Mets in the 1986 World Series. He also was the pitching coach for the Atlanta Braves.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Say my name.
Come on. I can Google it right here. Come on. Here, look. My gosh. Oh, no, it's not George. It's Roger.
Thank you.
Say my name.
Missed it by that much.
Yeah, definitely not getting invited to Thanksgiving this year. Now back to Moo Lanfordini on House Smarts Radio.
You're just not, you're not a nice person.
Yeah, Joe. Don.
What's in a name anyway, right? Let your life speak.
Oh, hey, who's singing
this? This isn't Beyonce, is it? Oh,
Destiny's Child.
It's Destiny's Child.
Wow.
Right, but...
Fine.
312-981-7200 is our phone number.
Don is in Chicago. Don, good morning. You are on WGN.
Hey, Lou, great show as always. Two quick questions. Your thoughts on porcelain countertops and a recommendation for roofing shingles.
Ooh, porcelain countertops. Cool. Very hard. My only concern is it's a little prone to chipping. And when it chips, you're not going to be happy. If you were going to go with a porcelain, is there a specific design you're looking at, or it's just something you're considering?
No, it's something we're considering. We're doing a remodel, and yeah. I'm just hearing it's supposed to be, you know, better. Not better, but...
It's different.
It's just different. A little stronger, maybe a little more heat resistance than quartz or stone.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. If you're going to go with a material like that, I would rather you go with a quartz material. And, you know, the heat resistant thing, I get it. But you know what? You shouldn't be putting anything hot on a counter like that, like a hot pot that you just boiled. It's 400 degrees. Even porcelain.
Oh, no, I totally get it, Lou. I'm just worried that we have Thanksgiving in our house, that we have all the extended family.
Yep.
They're going to put something on the counter. That's
then
what I'm worried about.
No, understood. But then I would rather, I think, that a more flexible, durable product than a porcelain. In a kitchen, it wouldn't be. I would do it in a bathroom or in a small area, like a wet bar or something like that. But in a kitchen where you're going to, if you're someone that entertains a lot and there's dishes and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, the porcelain is really rigid. It's strong, don't get me wrong, but if you hit it just right and you snap a chip off there, you're not going to be happy.
Yeah, we have quartz now. We're happy with it. I just thought maybe this was the latest, greatest.
Yeah, you should see some of the new styles with the quartz now. It'll really blow you away.
What do you think about shingles, then?
Okay, so with shingles, there's a lot of good choices when it comes to manufacturers. The ones that I kind of my go-to that I recommend a lot are CertainTeed. I do like the Elk product and the Tamco product. These are synthetic blends, and you know, you're looking for something that is over 250 pounds per square when you're looking at the rating of it all. And they all start, GAF is another one that I would consider, but they all start at about a 25 to 30 year warranty. And that's, you know, would be the ones that I would think about.
What's your recommendation on the ice and water shield? Some people are telling me, oh, we go 6 feet. Other people say, oh, all you need is three.
I like the double. I like to go, it's 5 feet usually because it's a 30 inch roll.
Okay.
And they overlap it a little bit. So a double layer, depending on your roof. It doesn't add a lot to the cost, and it gives you more protection for, you know, ice backup. So I absolutely recommend that.
All right, Lou, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend.
You too. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk to Jason, who's in Morris. Jason, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Thank you.
How can I help you?
I have a question here in regards to an issue I'm having in my water within my home. I've got crystalline granules that are starting to clog the aerators in my faucets. And I'm trying to figure out what is this crystalline, almost like sediment, but it's crystalline in nature. What is causing it, and how do I remove it from my water system?
It's happening everywhere?
Yes, it is. It is. I have not isolated whether it's the cold water line or the hot water line, though the hot water line...
Oh, we just lost him. His phone just cut out. Okay, couple things. It could be, I'm going to bet it's your hot water line, and it's probably a deteriorating dip tube inside there that's getting that debris out of there. And the way that maybe you could test this is if you have a bathroom that you don't use a lot, clear the aerator. And so it's all nice and clean, and run the water for a little bit and then keep it off. And keep the aerator off, and then use a strainer, like a mesh strainer that you use in the kitchen. There's a little small one that, you know, like if you were going to separate an egg yolk. Have you ever had one of those? You know, the strainers that you can separate the yolk from the yolk from the what? What's the other part of the white? What it? The yolk and from the what?
The runny stuff.
That's what it is. The yolk from
the egg whites,
right? And so that you can hold right under there and just go with the hot water. If you notice it's only the hot water, start with the cold. after it sits for a couple days or a day. Then if it doesn't come out of the cold, do the hot. And then you'll see which one it is, and I bet you need a new dip tube from there. Take a call. She's like, how are you? We'll talk to Carrie in Aurora. Hi, Carrie. You're on WGN.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Good. Our question is, we are going to install a new mantle on our brick fireplace, and we want to use kind of a reclaimed beam and probably an 8x8, like 8 inches high, 8 inches wide.
Okay.
And we kind of want to know the best way to install it. So it's, you know, floor to ceiling brick, right? And then on the actual fireplace, it's sort of a double wide brick where there's a little lip for the mantle to sit on.
Okay.
And so just looking kind of the safest way to install this reclaimed beam.
So you're going to set it on, you're going to set it on that little part of the brick that is sticking out a little bit?
Yeah, and that lip really is only like 4 inches, and we're 4 inches in width, and the mantle we're looking at is more like 8 inches in width.
4 inches in width. Meaning that it sticks out 4 inches?
Yeah, so it would, the wood part would stick off the brick part about 4 inches or so.
Wood part would stick off. All right, let me ask you this. Is that 4 inches of brick the whole width of the fireplace?
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah. Yep.
And will the mantle be as big as that?
You mean long-wise?
Yeah, lengthwise or width-wise.
Yeah. For width-wise, no, the mantle will be 8 inches wide. And the lip is really only about 4 inches wide. So it'll stick off the front.
No, hold on. We're not talking about the same thing. If I'm looking at your fireplace, there mm-hmm. there is a swath of brick that's running horizontally, correct?
Yeah.
And the plane of the front of that swath of brick sticks out 4 inches from the plane of the rest of the fireplace, correct?
Yes.
And when I'm looking at that, how wide is that swath of brick? The entire width of the fireplace as well?
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm looking at it left to right. Does it go the whole left to right?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yep.
And so that's only about, 2.5 inches tall, right? And your reclaimed piece of wood is going to be like a big chunk of wood?
Yeah, yep, like a kind of like a railroad tie, but not a railroad tie.
Got it.
It's a wood beam.
Got it. So, you know what would look really cool if you had somebody to be able to do this? Is mm-hmm. on the back side of this railroad tie to cut a notch out of the back of it. So you would put it over the top of that swath of brick. And so it wouldn't sit on top of it, but it would sit in front of it, almost like a... Like you would create the brick would be the wheel of a train and the groove would be the track that it sits inside of. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah. Yep.
Then if you did something like that, you could put it on there, and if you cut it, tight, so you kind of tap it on with a block of wood, you could use construction adhesive, and then all you would need would be two little L brackets on the ends that you would screw into the brick to hold it in place, and that, along with the construction adhesive, would hold it, and it'd be a really cool-looking look.
Yeah, no, I think so, too.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, totally. Thank you.
Send me a picture.
I will. Sounds
all right.
Good.
Bye. Thanks so all much right. for Thank calling. You. Lou Manfredini, House Smarts Radio. We'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's speak with Marilyn in Orland Park. Marilyn, you're on WGN.
Hi, Lou. I'm painting our wood, the trim on the windows and doors, and they're stained with polyurethane on it. And I'm getting mixed answers about liquid paper and something called stain blocking bonding primer seal. They're all saying that I do not have to sand the wood first. I just put this on and then paint.
I mean...
Okay, so you've got a polyurethane over the top of the stain right now, correct?
Right.
Yeah. I'm a fan of lightly sanding it just because removing a little bit of that sheen from the polyurethane, I mean, you don't need to go crazy here. You just need to do a little light sanding to cut the sheen a little bit with a sanding sponge, then do a stain-killing primer, then paint the trim. Okay. I mean, I'm talking, and Marilyn, I'm talking like you're going, you're done, stain it, and then you're done. Paint it.
Right. Now, these sanding sponges, how long do they last? It seems like I've started doing a little sanding, and it looks like maybe after one door I have to get another sponge.
Yeah, you need to buy several of them. They're not, they're not super durable, but they're super convenient as far as getting into the nooks and crannies. And so typically I tell people, if you're doing a large painting project, you're going to buy half a dozen of them, and there's, you know, four sides to them, right? The larger side and then the edges, and you just want to utilize all of them. And I mean, again, it depends on you want a medium grit, depends on the amount of force you're using, but for a light sanding, you know, you should probably have two or three of them, and they should do the job.
Okay. How will I know that they're not doing the job anymore? I don't know.
When you start with a brand new one, okay, and you do the how are you supposed to sound when you're doing the staining or the sanding? You remember?
I don't.
Dee 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 dee. You're doing that, right? When you're done doing the dee 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 dee, take a look at it. Right. Take a look at it and say, oh, that looks pretty good. And then when you get to the next door, if you can't get the same dee dee dee, get a new get the new sanding sponge. You just want to cut the sheen. That's all you want to do. We're not looking for you to, you know, buff this thing to a, you know, to a shine like a car.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. Do that, prime it, paint it, and you're good to go. Thank you so much for the phone call.
Turn out the lights. The party's over. They say that all good things must end.
Thank you so much for listening to House Smarts Radio here on WGN. Thanks to Maple on News, Joe Brand for doing sports. He's coming up with Northwestern pregame. And Bob Ferguson for pushing all the buttons. And Lindsay, as always, for producing, putting this whole puppy together. This is Ricky in Galewood. Ricky, you are on House Smarts Radio.
Hi, Lou. Okay, as far as basement humidity and mustiness, what do you think between an installed dehumidifier from PermaSeal or a wave ventilation system?
I think that a whole house larger dehumidifier is a better solution than just an exhaust fan for a basement, which is what that wave system is. That's my opinion. I know a lot of people have installed that system, and I think that if you did a whole house dehumidification system, it would do a better job for you. The folks at PermaSeal do a system called Sedona that is really effective and does a nice job. And so I would get an estimate from them about doing something like that.
All right. Thanks, Lou.
Thank you. Hey, Ricky?
Yeah.
Can you hang on a second?
Sure.
I'm going to send you a Marconi gift box. It's an assortment
great.
Of Marconi Giardiniera pasta sauces and salad dressings.
Oh, thank you. I heard you talking about that.
All right, hold on a second. Make sure you lift with your knees. It's like a giant box. One of Chicago's favorite traditions since 1898. Find them at marconi-foods.com. Marconi makes it better. I think we need, Joe, I think I need a Lou Manfredini Giardiniera.
Like your own bottle?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, jar. You know, Ditka has, like, stuff for barbecue sauce or whatever. He doesn't make it. He just puts his name on it.
Is this a dumb question? Is Giardiniera Italian?
Well, it is, but it's a uniquely Chicago thing. You know, you don't find it a lot of other places. Like, you don't find it in Italy.
Right.
I'm doing a podcast, and I just did a new podcast with this guy. When I did that event, with the Design First Builders, we did this cooking class with WGN. They had this Iron Chef, Mario Rosati, who was the host. I talked a little bit about this. Lindsay said it was the first time she ever saw me be quiet because this guy was so good. and we interviewed him for the podcast. And he, one of his big things, and we talk a lot about his coming to America type of thing, which is a great immigrant story, and you know the success that he's had. But his big push is always authentic Italian food.
Mm.
Giardiniera is not technically authentic. Italian beef, they don't have that in Italy. They don't. Deep dish pizza,
which
they don't have that in Italy.
By the way.
Huh?
Which was news to me, by the way.
Yeah.
Italian sausage?
Yeah, they have that.
Okay.
Right. But not Italian beef.
That's surprising to me, because isn't right. Italian sausage just sausage that's seasoned with Italian seasoning? No?
It's sausage that's, yeah, sealed with that.
Hmm.
Are you going to be talking about sausages in Northwestern pregame?
Who knows? Maybe, but probably not.
All right.
We'll see. But Northwestern taking on the big, bad, mighty Wisconsin Badgers. But
it's going to be a good game. I hope they show up. That'll be the Wisconsin's tough.
They're very tough. I mean, the numbers are a little inflated, but the wins are still there in impressive fashion. So we'll see what the Cats can do.
Have a good show.